Greet each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'm glad you're here, and it's good to gather together on this Christmas morning. Thank you, Brother George, for that prayer, and I want to thank each of you for praying. Keep it up. Our desire this morning is that Jesus Christ would be magnified, that he would be praised and glorified this morning. If you would you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1? I simply wanted extra scripture read there from Luke. There's so much that we could have read that would have related to the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, and I just wanted more of it read there. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 for our thoughts this morning. No matter your mindset this morning about Christmas and how much it should be mentioned, how much it should be commemorated or celebrated, yes, some people take extreme views there, and some won't even speak on Christmas. On the other hand, some will keep Christ in a manger forever. So there's two extremes, but I would say that we're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And if we never preach on these Scriptures that tell us how Jesus came into the world, we're missing a blessing, in my opinion. And so we want to look here this morning at Matthew, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or as follows: when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I do want to entitle this message, Call His Name Jesus. That's simply the title. Call His Name Jesus. George read that phrase in Luke, and we find it again here in Matthew's account. Call His Name Jesus. Jesus. Jesus' mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. That is, she was engaged in our terms and in our day. She was espoused, she was betrothed. She was actually bound to Joseph. So you see that when the Jews got engaged, when they got espoused, they actually said their marriage vows at that point. And in order for that to be stopped, there would have to be a divorce at that point. It was quite binding. And it was typical in the Jewish culture that this would last a year, approximately a year. And after this year of betrothal, then the young lady would take up residence with her husband, and their marriage would be consummated, their union would be consummated at that point. And so it was during this waiting period that Mary was found with child. The assumption would be that such a pregnancy was the result of immorality. What else could one think? There was nothing else to think. I dare say that this was the only time in human history that such a couple was actually innocent. The Bible says she was found with child, and then the Bible's explanation is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, it was of God. It was a miracle. It was an act of God. Faith is a most beautiful thing. When you and I take God at His word, and we believe the Holy Scriptures simply because God has spoken them, and we know that God is truth, God does not lie. The mystery of God taking on human flesh and being born of a virgin is to be adored rather than to be argued and doubted because of our pathetic human understanding. Our ways, brothers and sisters, are simply not God's ways, and we need to believe, we need to have faith in the biblical account. Consider Ecclesiastes 11:5 with me. It says there, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. There are those who doubt the virgin birth in Christian circles. I tell you this morning, we don't even understand how natural births take place and how the bones grow in the womb. We don't understand all these mysteries. You could read in Psalm 139, Psalmist David's thoughts on that, how it's beyond our comprehension, it's beyond our understanding. And yet, it happens. And this was no greater of a miracle, what took place here in the birth of Jesus. Verse 19 of our text in Matthew 1, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. Joseph indeed is greatly perplexed, rightfully so. He believed in Mary. He loved this young woman. He believed in her integrity. He believed in her uprightness, her godliness. He believed he was connecting here with a godly young woman. And yet it was starting to show, because I believe now Mary had already been with Elizabeth 3 months. She was no doubt through her first trimester, and it was showing that she was with child. This young lady was pregnant. And it was showing, it could not be denied. And so, by law, a betrothed virgin who had played the harlot would have to be stoned according to the law in Deuteronomy. She would have to be stoned for a public example of what would happen to those who would sin like this. Joseph, a just man, he was an upright man, he was a godly man, a strict observer of the law, and because of that, he could not marry her. If she indeed had played the harlot, he could not marry her, but he would divorce her quietly and out of the limelight. He would do it as quietly and unobserved as possible for her sake. He loved her. He was baffled. He was perplexed. He couldn't understand why things were going this way, but he was willing to divorce her quietly and not make a public show of it and not have her stoned. Joseph was willing to show mercy. It appeared like something had gone wrong, even with her morals, but he was willing to show mercy. What about us? I'm not suggesting fellowship with sinners. That line must be drawn. But are we too quick sometimes to decide what is taking place when we don't know all? Love thinketh no evil. Things are not always what they first appear to be. I believe there's just a lesson here for us. Joseph was willing to show mercy and wait and ponder these things. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Mary has not committed whoredom. She has not been the harlot. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph took the time to think before acting. He meditated, and because he was in meditation and patient, God spoke to him. I challenge us today that, and myself included, we too often act hastily and rush through life, hardly able to hear the voice of God, if he indeed has need to turn us and make us think differently. Imagine the comfort that Joseph receives in place of fear, and how precious that is. And oh, we need that so often in our lives. We need comfort. We need the Lord's blessing. And instead we go with fear into the next day, because we haven't been thinking, we haven't been meditating, we haven't been listening and hearing the voice of God concerning our situation. Joseph receives comfort. He receives all this in place of fear. We can too, when we wait and listen on the Lord, and when we simply believe his word. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's precious. Why, Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. Jehovah saves. Same as the name Joshua in the Old Testament. Two Joshuas in the Old Testament who were clear types of Christ. Joshua, Israel's captain, and Joshua, Israel's high priest after the captivity. Jesus is our Joshua, the captain of our salvation, and the high priest of our profession. And in both, Jesus is Savior. Yours, mine, whoever will accept him, Savior. Call his name Jesus. When Christ saves a person, he saves them from their sin. By his death, Jesus saves people from the guilt and condemnation of sin. And Jesus saves individuals from the control and dominion of sin by his power and by his grace. Call his name Jesus. Jesus saves from wrath. He saves from judgment. He saves from the curse. He saves from misery here and hereafter. Praise his name. Call his name Jesus. He saves his people from their sins. Jesus came to save people not in their sins, but from their sins. Notice how the scripture puts it. It is precious. He has come to save us from our sins, not in our sins. Jesus purchased our freedom, not to sin, not a freedom to sin, but he purchased our freedom that we might be victorious over sin. He redeems us from all iniquity. It tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Those who are interested in Jesus as Savior leave their sins behind, purposing to head in a new direction, and they give themselves up to Jesus and his Lordship. Those who desire to embrace him as Savior, they move forward and they leave their sins behind and they embrace him as Lord. Verses 22 and 23, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The prophet spoken of here is Isaiah. The quote here is Isaiah 7, verse 14. It's just slightly different there. I believe I'll get it quickly. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Hebrew for the word virgin here in Isaiah 7, 14, I may mispronounce it, but it's spelled A-L-M-A-H, Alma. Comparing the other six times Alma is used in Scripture, shows to us very clearly that this is the most precise term the prophet could have chosen to indicate that the young woman in view was indeed a virgin. I believe it was Betula. I didn't write it down. There was another Hebrew word that is used, but twice that refers to married women. The prophet, led of the Lord as he penned these words, he used the word Alma, which clearly in every case it speaks of a woman who is a virgin. And in Matthew, as Matthew, the writer of Scripture here in the New Testament, pens chapter 1, verse 23 and says, behold, a virgin, Greek parthenos, it was the Greek counterpart of Alma in the Old Testament for virgin. It was a perfect translation for the Septuagint. It simply means just that. It means virgin. More and more, professing Christians, and you can include in that theologians who are poisoning the mind and spirit of many, are rejecting the foundational biblical truth of the virgin birth of Jesus. It's horrifying to have that in Christian circles. The virgin birth of Jesus is of utmost importance, and it is clearly taught from the Holy Word of God. You get rid of the virgin birth this morning, brother and sister, and you no longer have Emmanuel. You don't have God with you if you get rid of the virgin birth. You lose the deity of Christ. All you have when you get rid of the virgin birth is another babe born of a sin nature. And if you're born of the sin nature, you can't save me, and I can't save you. Because if I'm born of the sin nature, I'm a sinner from birth. And Jesus was not. We're sinners twice, brothers and sisters. We're born of a sin nature, and then we choose to sin. Jesus did neither. He was not born of a sin nature because he did not have an earthly father. He was of the seed of the woman. We have a hint of that way back in Genesis. He was the seed of the woman. He was not the seed of any earthly man. Joseph is mentioned in the New Testament because of his royal lineage, and that through him being the stepdad, the caretaker of this Son of God, Jesus would have a rightful heir, not only through Mary, but also through Joseph to the royal line of David, that he might be the ruler, the king, on David's throne. It's very, very important this morning. And probably once a year is not even enough. We need to be reminded that our salvation is based on a virgin birth. Where God became flesh, the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. God took on human flesh. And the thing conceived in Mary, the Bible tells us, was of the Holy Ghost. And that's how it is. A miracle of God. You know, I believe one of the things that bothers me, and I'm going to say it, I hear it quite often, and I'm not against science, and I'm not against natural phenomenon. And you know, we have this star that all of a sudden here someone has it all figured out, that three planets lined up and there was a light in the sky as never before. Well, maybe so. I'm not denying that. Right now, I'm not ready to swallow it. I rather believe an old timer like Matthew Henry, before the ages were dumbed down by electronics, knew what he was talking about. But there are various opinions, and I got out of Matthew chapter 2 because of that, and I felt it would be more edifying here in chapter 1. But one thing that bothers me, trying to naturally or scientifically explain all the miracles, that bothers me. That is why people today are rejecting the virgin birth of Jesus, because they can't naturally explain it and they can't scientifically explain it. Christianity is based on faith, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It was counted on to, it was Abraham, it was counted on to him for righteousness because he believed God. Brothers and sisters, we need to believe. We need to believe the written word. It's very important. If it can be natural, I know Genesis has been explained scientifically. A great scientist and theologian, Henry Morris, and there's others. Praise God for that. But I tell you this morning, we better not doubt God's word when it doesn't quite add up in our minds. We are not God. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Because of the virgin birth, Jesus was born without a sin nature. Hallelujah. You take away the virgin birth and Jesus has a sin nature and can no longer save you or me. I'm thankful for the truth in Scripture that tells us Jesus was born of a virgin. That's why we call him Jesus, Savior. If he wasn't virgin born, he was not a savior. He was not God come in the flesh if he was not virgin born. He was virgin born, brothers and sisters. Don't ever let anyone ever talk you out of it. The Scripture is true. That's why we call him Jesus, Savior. Are you rejoicing today on this Christmas morning that Jesus came to save sinners such as you and I, without hope, without that coming. I know, and like it was said in Sunday school, it's a package. This virgin birth of Jesus, Jesus taking on human flesh, the incarnation, is part of a package of Christianity. Praise God for the life he lived. Praise God that he went to the cross. Praise God he rose again, and praise the Lord he's coming. And he's not going to come as a meek lamb this time. He's going to come with a rod of iron. He's going to smite the nations. He is going to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No wonder the Bible says in Luke, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." No wonder suddenly with the angel, a heavenly host was praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men." It was a rejoicing time, and it still is today, because our Savior did not stay in the grave. He is alive. Verses 24 and 25, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Jesus. Joseph obeyed without argument and without delay. What an example to us. He obeyed without delay, without argument. Oh, he didn't say, "This doesn't make sense." He believed God, and he obeyed him. Joseph and Mary give us tremendous examples of submitting to the will of God. Whether it be our idea, or whether it makes sense, or whether it seems ridiculous, they give us great examples of a man and a woman, young man and young woman, who were willing to submit to God and his plan for their life, whatever that plan would be. Why did Jesus come? Because his name would be called Jesus, Savior. That's why he came. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That which was lost. "I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Luke 5:32. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." 1 Timothy 1:15. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, born of a virgin. As he was born, a tremendous astronomical assignment lay ahead of him. Cradled in a loving mother's arms, Mary's arms, he was facing a future. Simeon, I believe, said it was, he would see the rise and fall of him. He would be reproached. He would be rejected. He had a tremendous assignment before him. He would be despised, and he would be rejected. He would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Our iniquity would be laid upon him. With his stripes, we would be healed. Horribly wounded for our transgressions. This precious babe in a manger. Thank God the man called Jesus came. praise God and call his name Jesus. For on the way to the cross, he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Praise his holy name.